currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
W8FU.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Good morning, W8RCY. Yeah, good morning. Boy, I'll tell you, warm out. Walked outside and went, holy cow, it's already almost 80. Good grief. What's up? How you doing? I'm doing okay. Got my cardiology once a month checkup, and I'm good for another 30 days, 30 minutes, or 30 seconds, whichever comes first, before I go back next month. So what do they do in a cardiology checkup? Well, with me, with my AFib issue from 2020, they just keep an eye on it. I haven't had an episode in probably mid-2023 was the last time an AFib showed up. But I've also switched doctors and hospitals and all this and that because I'm no longer involved with Corewell Health over here at Henry Ford. And yeah, they just basically keep an eye on things and make sure nothing goes haywire. And I need to exercise more, and I know that. And with the winter coming up, I'll definitely be doing that. But weight loss is the big thing, and that's just taking a lot of stress and load off of the old ticker for sure. Oh yeah, but I mean, what do you got to do at the appointment? You got to get on the treadmill, do a stress test or EKG or anything, or do they just kind of like listen and talk? Back when I was heavier and I was having AFib issues, they had me on treadmills, but I haven't done treadmills yet with this doctor. They do the EKGs, they do pulse ox, they do. They have scanned my neck and stuff for blood flow to the brain, which sometimes many of you believe has probably been cut off a few times or so, but I admit that. But, I'm in and out of there in about 45 minutes, and if I do any consultation, I'm there about an hour.
All right, so it don't sound too bad. Let's see, if you have to go stress test, then... That's a little bit of a pain, but, oh, man, have you ever had a chemical stress test? I never have, but my wife has, and I guess it's pretty bad.
No, none that I know of. I mean, they've drawn blood, you know, but in the past, but as far as chemical, no. To my knowledge, nothing like that.
Yeah, instead of having you get on the treadmill, they inject you with something that causes your heart to really, really get rapid and ramp up, a chemical. And so they call it a chemically induced stress test. There's probably a more technical name for it, but anyhow. So quite a bit of lightning flashing in the north. Looks maybe like heat lightning, not sure. But I know we got thunderstorms coming in, so who knows?
To be honest with you, I haven't looked at anything on the news yet today. Been just taking care of emails, some banking, stuff like that. That's all I've done since I've been up. But, yeah, so I don't know what's going on with anything. I know the Tigers lost again big time, you know, like double-digit scores, so it's like I'm done with them. They're, you know, I can't wait to see what's going to happen with that team. Along with the Red Wings, because the Ilitch family owns both teams. But, yeah, those two things, those two teams are nothing but a cluster fudge right now, so I guess my only hope is in the Lions this year to do anything. Yeah, I got to admit, I haven't really been following. The biggest problem is, you know, they're hard to, the televised stuff is hard to find. I don't know, as we get late in the season like this into the playoff time of year, it gets better. But I just haven't watched because of the difficulty in finding, all right, what do we got going here? Flashy lights. What do we got? Looks like we have a bus. Okay, that's what it is. Yeah, I got a bus here with its little sign out picking people up. There we go. All right. Sorry, digress. I have to concern myself with the bus. Well, you did your proper thing, and you know, slowed up, waited, stopped, whatever the situation was, so that's good. No, you're not missing much with the Tigers at all. I mean, two games with Minnesota, like I said, they lost by double-digit scores to, like, their two or three, points that they scored. They're just pathetic now, and it's just a total dumpster dive, and, I get it with the, you know, streaming services or cable services or whatever, you know, you watch these games with, because you're just getting harder and harder to find anything locally. Even, you know, when the Tigers had that good run, a couple of times Fox 2 here, the local station, would play it on their stations. But, no, a lot of streaming services are, you know, I rely on streaming services to watch just about anything. And, fortunately, I have access to racing streams through the networks, and I can punch in a code and I can pull it up. And with what I get, though, is I don't get commercials. I get all the behind-the-scenes stuff that goes on, which is sometimes comical. But yeah, I get it. And I don't know what Joe has going at her place, but I know she's pretty much got everything. So if there was something I wanted to watch or we wanted to watch together, 90% chance we can watch it over there.
Well, there you go. So, yeah, I think my son-in-law subscribes to something that gets him all the Tigers game. They're real sports fanatics, so I'd say one of my subscriptions is for sports, and that's YouTube TV. I say it's because my wife prefers it to other services, but truth be told, college football, that's got me hooked. So if I ever lose college football, YouTube TV will be out the door. It's $82 a month, so it's not cheap.
So I can easily guess what you're going to be doing this weekend, seeing that it's college football kickoff weekend for everybody.
You know it. I watch my Buckeyes like it's religion. It's the only thing that I absolutely positively watch without any exception. I go out of my way. I get fidgety if I can't watch. That's it.
Well, that's like with me with auto racing, and you know, I have to have my Peacock for IMSA and Fox Sports for IndyCar. Other than that, I don't really care about anything else, and I don't watch NASCAR. Drag racing's okay, but you know, it's just not me. And some of my streaming services, like through Xfinity and stuff, have dropped
Fox and have dropped Peacock. Xfinity says I can get Peacock for free as a premium, so I can get the IMSA channel. But that's not working. I've had Xfinity people out here. I've talked to Xfinity reps that come to the campus, been to the Xfinity store. You tell me I've got this for free, but you can't hook me up, and I don't understand. But like I said, I just happen to have the code to go into it and watch it in that way. I mean, there was a doubleheader this weekend for IndyCar, and I watched it on their streaming service as well, internally, again, behind-the-scenes commercials and things like that. There's no commercials. It's just the antics of the commentators and stuff like that that goes on. It's actually the broadcast actual feed, not the network feed.
We have to move over and get out of us. The Po-Po has somebody pulled over here on 16 Mile. Has to get out in the other lane, get around them. But, yeah, streaming is the way now. But I think my wife could get by with. I know I could get by with free. I don't need to pay for a damn thing. Now I do have a service that gets me about everything I could possibly want. So I cheat a little bit. But having said that, I could really probably get by with absolutely no paid for services. With the exception of my college football and even that, I think if that were the only thing, nah, I don't know. I don't know if I could give that up. So racing, you know, I've never really watched racing, and it's like, you know, a lot of people that don't watch football don't understand, you know, they don't understand that it's not just the touchdown that counts, you know, that's exciting. You know, there's individual plays within the game, and there's first downs, and there's turnovers, and there's all sorts of things that make it exciting, you know, besides the actual, you know, the actual scoring of a touchdown. And you know, so there's constant activity. And in racing, you know, is it, you know, there's the end where whoever wins. And I'm like, what do you watch? What's exciting in racing during, like, the grind?
Well, a lot has changed in racing, and in the IndyCar series, where they race the Indy 500 Memorial Weekend, you have 33 drivers and 33 equal spec cars. No cars are individual anymore. You have a spec car chassis, spec tires, choice of one or two engine manufacturers, be it Honda or Chevrolet, and everything else is the same. The competition is the drivers. Everybody else is in, you know, everybody's in equal equipment. That's kind of lame. Now this year, actually for the last 5 out of 6 years, one driver has just been dominating, and nobody knows how the heck he's doing it. He's either that good, or, and I hate to say it as an official, he sure as hell knows how to cheat. But yeah, it's becoming boring, the IndyCar series, because you pretty much know who's going to win the race before the race even starts. I mean, they have one race next weekend. He just wrapped up the championship, and we already know who's going to win the last race, unless something catastrophic happens, like a major breakdown, or he gets in an accident, and that's about the only way he doesn't win. So that's taken a lot of the fun out of the sport. Now with IMSA, with sports car racing, break, you have four different classes, well actually three different classes of cars, but they have a thing called balance of performance, which is kind of like the equalizer. This is endurance racing, and, you know, they go anywhere from an hour and 40 minutes to 2 hours and 40 minutes, 3 hours, 3 hours, I would say. And those are considered sprint races. The ones I do are the big endurance races, which are 6 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, or the big 24-hour race. And it's multi-class racing. All three or four classes are running at the same time. One overall winner, and then other
divisional winners of the race. So you can easily have five winners in one race.
Right, but I think what my question is as you're watching the race, you know, what besides the end, who wins, what is there to watch? You know, what are you watching? You know, what's the draw for to sit there for 3 hours and watch? You know, outside of the end where you figure out who wins, what's the draw to watch racing? I'm asking out of curiosity. I'm not being poo-pooing it or anything like that. I understand it's like, that's why I said it's like football. You know, for people that don't know or don't watch it, they don't understand that there's a lot of really good stuff going on for the entire, you know, 3 hours. That's like me. I just don't understand. But what is going on in that 2 or 3 hours that you dedicate to it that is, worth the draw?
Oh, I could go down the list. World-class drivers from all over the world. Various talents from gentlemen drivers, like, you know, you do it as a weekend hobby, but you race side-by-side with some of the best drivers of the world. The competition among manufacturers. Sports car racing has probably every car manufacturer you can think of in it. Usually they provide the engines more so than the chassis. And then again, there's the chassis manufacturers on top of that. Again, four different classes of racing going on simultaneously. So there's a mixed bag of the big monster prototypes going against the little putt-putt GTD cars. There's a lot of things now. From an official standpoint, there's telemetry that we watch and read on these cars, as well as the teams. So there's the science of it, the strategy of it, you know. I could be, you can get me going for the next hour, and you'd never make it to work on time. So it's very long and very drawn out. But, you know, in football, you watch certain players. In racing, you watch certain cars. You know, and it's, like I said, I've been doing it for so long. It's just second nature to me, but... if you sat and watched a three-hour race with me, I could sit down and describe everything with you. And one final thing I'll say is this. To see a race, just like a football game, it's so much better to see it in person than it is on TV. You can have more accessibility of what's going on live than you can watching it on a boob tube.
E-W-O-G.
Rick! Hey fellas, how you doing this morning? Just getting ready to go to PT and listening in here.
Well, I'm doing fantastical. You sound good. Glad to hear you out here. Haven't heard you in a while. Hope everything's been okay. Donald?
Good morning, Rick. Yeah, I heard you were a little bit under the weather there for a while and we didn't hear from you and... Yeah, I asked around, and a couple other people asked around, but I know you've popped in a couple times, but I've just been too busy to, you know, join in. But, yeah, definitely good to hear you out there, and you do sound great, by the way.
Well, thanks. I'm not doing too awful bad. That's because I'm just sitting and talking. Get up and move around, that's a different story. And Donald, by the way, I have to debate the topic of being there live. The only sport I watch is Red Wings hockey. Not hockey, Red Wings hockey. And I much prefer television because you get shots from any and every angle and all kinds of stuff you just can't see live. So to me, I get to see more of what's going on when it's on the television rather than sitting there in the arena. And being the designated driver for the way home. John?
Oh, yeah, big fan. But I you can call me fair weather or whatever you want, but when they're not looking like they're going to go for it if they're bad. I don't dedicate. I just keep track of the box scores and, you know, and maybe catch a little here and there, read a little bit about them, you know, and everything like that. But I tend not to sit down and take in a game when, you know, when the product is not up to snuff. So I haven't been watching too much lately. And, you know, call me fair weather, that's fine. I don't care. Not an insult to me. Donald?
Rick, my significant other is a huge baseball fan, hockey fan, college football, college basketball fan. And she goes to some of the Red Wing games and some of the Tiger games because where she works, her office has, if it's available. And she goes to some of those. But you're talking about camera angles. There's a... it's an IMSA race on or something like that, a sports car race where it's an endurance race. You can have 60 cars on the track, and almost half of them, if not slightly more, all have in-car cameras, onboard cameras. In-car cameras are cameras that will, like, shoot out the roof of the car, and you see the car going around the track from that perspective. In-car cameras, where cameras are inside the car next to the driver, and now they have cameras mounted inside the helmets looking through the visor of the driver's helmet out through the windshield. And those are some pretty spectacular views that you can see now with the technology the way it is. And I work in race control for IMSA, and we have monitors to a lot of these cameras, and we can see drivers' reactions to accidents, see who made the first move, you know, so on and so forth. And the technology is just mind-blowing what we can do and what we're capable of doing. But as far as camera angles, oh yeah, hundreds of cameras for a good 24-hour long race like the Daytona Rolex 24 in January for sure. Back to you, Rick.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. I kind of enjoy the hockey where, you know, they show the goals like six times. All the different angles kind of thing. It's kind of hilarious. But, and Sean, I know what you mean. You know, there's no hockey going on now. And so for the last couple of weeks, I've been watching all of the Red Wings series, playoff series from the 90s and early 2000s when Red Wings were the team of the decade. But a question for you. I've been doing a poll. I am so sick of AT&T. Who do you guys use for cell service? I'm looking for a new cell provider.
Okay, well, I've got a bit to say on that. I carry all three right now. I have T-Mobile is my personal. I have FirstNet, so I have AT&T's, you know, service on steroids. And I have Verizon on my work phone. And I am constantly checking the three of them against each other as I roll around. And in my travels, T-Mobile is beating all of them by far. I'm very happy with T-Mobile. So I was shocked when that kept showing up everywhere. Everywhere I go, T-Mobile, 5 bars, 5G. Everybody else struggles. I'm like, wow, I don't know what they've done. Never have a drop call, never have bad service, anything like that. And they're very no muss, no fuss, you know, pay. You know, they don't have a lot of hidden fees or anything like that. It's just, this is what we charge, period, end of story. Can't recommend them enough. And I was a hater going back in the early 2000s of T-Mobile. Tried them and said, yeah, won't do it. They've made serious changes. That's my take on it. I was a Verizon homeboy for years, too. All right, anyhow, Donald's got, I'm sure, got a lot to say on this as well. W8FU.
Well, I am a former Verizon employee, been associated with Verizon since 2000, retired. I am on a retirement rate plan with them,
a lot of nice benefits, a lot of nice perks. So I'm a Verizon slappy. I'll get off my soapbox. Since cell phones were launched, I've been on just about every carrier possibly out there, and I remember when T-Mobile was VoiceStream, and AT&T changed their name so many times. I don't know what it is this week, from AT&T to Singular to Ameritech, to Bell, everything else. And as we know, Sprint has come and gone, and so has Nextel. But for me, just because I do have it, I've always been on Verizon, and the previous company, AirTouch, and then Cellular One, but that was the analog days. But for digital, the only thing I can say is Verizon for me. I've had my qualms with them, but being a former employee and all, they take very good care of me, so that's where I stand. It would take a lot for me to leave, and I've considered leaving in the last year, but yeah. If I go anywhere, I'd probably take Sean's advice and go to T-Mobile.
Well, I hope you were done there, Don. I would think a lot to leave and just cut right off kind of thing, so I don't know if we timed out or what's going on. Anyway, I hope I'm not stepping on anybody. Okay, that's good to know. The only one I've been able to pull so far was the family, and they went from AT&T to Verizon. They had a bunch of problems there with Verizon, and so now they went to T-Mobile, and they're kind of iffy about T-Mobile, so I'm like juggling, like, what in the world am I going to do? But I've had it with AT&T, that's all it is. I stuck with them because, as far as I know, they have the most towers in Michigan. Anywhere I go in Michigan, I got service and good service. If you have to actually deal with AT&T on something, it's a nightmare. But anyway, that's enough of my whining. Take AWO today. Sean.
Right, and I was giving you my perspective as a person who currently carries all three and where I travel, which is admittedly mostly Macomb County. Now, if you travel outside of the area, all bets are off because you get up north of, and I remember when I was Verizon was the king of coverage, but they were terrible if you got up into the thumb. There was just now that's changed, you know. I mean, I'm talking back years ago. But I was always with Verizon. The biggest thing with Verizon for me was just the cost. The cost is outrageous, and I just said, you know, I'm done with it. And T-Mobile had a pretty good deal, and I was skeptical, but they really turned me into a believer. I did do a stint with Comcast through their, you know, they had a bundled service where they sold somebody else's service, and it turns out they were just Verizon, so I had no reservations going there. I, like Donald, have been a Verizon. I was a very early adopter. I've been in phones, mobile phones, since the IMTS days back in the late 70s, and so I've had phones all along, very early adopter, and I've had Verizon from the start, been through the Singular, or the AirTouch and all that days, and I was very, very loyal to them until very, very recently, and I just got tired of the prices and everything like that. Much like Comcast, I was very loyal to them for years. Now I'm kind of a free range guy. Streaming and all that stuff, but AT&T, I haven't dealt with them. I don't know. I can't tell you. I know I'm not impressed with their coverage. I would say I'd put them third in the coverage department. But if you're going to consider T-Mobile, you got to check where you're at, because I cannot speak for anything really outside of where my travels, which is mostly Macomb County, in that. So. Anywho, you can probably give them a try. I think they have like a demo you can do, and if your phone will do dual SIMs, you can kind of like, you know, keep your phone in your service and just put it in a second SIM. That's what I do with my my T-Mobile AT&T phone as a dual simmer, and I can watch both. But if you're dealing, if your problems, hold on. If your issues are dealing with, the, you know, the customer service end of it, then, you know, that's not really what you're looking to figure out. Anyway, I'm pulling in the lot here. I will keep the radio on, so if I have to jump in, I will, but maybe challenging for me to stay in the convo completely. W8FU, Donald.
One quick comment. The reason you didn't have very good coverage in the thumb was Verizon's thumb cell at one point had all the frequencies locked up, so they were the king of the thumb. At work. KBSW here.
Good morning, Jeff. I lost my train of thought with that. But, AT&T had a habit, even when I started working for Verizon, when they were all still all analog and before digital came in, AT&T had the habit of sticking an antenna up wherever there was, stick a cell up whenever there's no coverage. They put so many cell towers up, when the vehicle, your vehicle moves through the network, it can't connect to which tower it's supposed to, and long story short, we dropped the call. And they have not digressed in their towers. They actually just keep putting more towers up, thinking they're going to have every square inch covered. When the calls get handed off to one tower to the other, they drop. And that's where the frustration comes with AT&T. And that's from me with all my years of Verizon and studying how these networks work. I digress. Rick, back to you.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. And Sean, we you kind of disappeared. I'm just pulling in the, and then you disappeared. So have a good day there, and don't work too hard. And yeah, I found, you know, traveling up north a lot. I go see a couple of friends up north all over the place, and I've always had great coverage with AT&T. I really haven't had dropped calls, and I've had coverage, good coverage everywhere I went, except for the Pigeon River Wilderness. You could get out there in the middle of the boonies and nowhere there and not have cell coverage. But I found out if I climbed up on the roof of the motorhome, I had coverage again. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with their coverage. If there is a technical problem, it's a nightmare. Or if you had to talk to customer service or what I could call consumer bumbling, it's just a freaking nightmare. But anyway, it's good to hear that. I got to check into that. And I know, just like Sean said, I think Verizon, I just read yesterday, has a 15-day trial period. And it seemed to me, I checked them out a few years ago. There's a store down the street. And they gave me a SIM to wander back to the house and see if it was getting good coverage there or not. So I'll have to check that out. But anyway, I appreciate it. KEAWOJ.
If you go to any of the carriers like Verizon, T-Mobile, Ameritech, whatever it's called, AT&T now, make sure they are company-owned corporate direct agency stores, and not resellers. I know Verizon stores are listed as Verizon, and if it says anything else other than if it says an authorized dealer or an indirect agency or anything like that, don't go there, because all they're going to do is, I'm not going to say they're going to rip you off. What they are is they're resellers of the service. You want to go to a corporate store, and, you know, call ahead and ask, hey, is this a corporate store or is this an indirect agency? Or what I refer to as direct or indirect. And just make sure you're actually going to a corporate store, because they'll give you the straight answers. And the company will back you. All right, I'm out of here for now as well. Everybody have a great day. This is W8RCY. Rick, good hearing you again. You take care.
Okay, Don, thanks. I appreciate it. And I think that's exactly what happened to the family here. They went to Verizon, and it was a store down the street. And what they were told and what was going on and happening and what it took to resolve a whole bunch of, it was just one real nightmare after the other. So They didn't have it for very long, and then they went to, I think they're on T-Mobile now. But anyway, that's enough of my whining, and I got to get out of here myself and go to PT, see if they're going to kill me today or not. Have a good one. We'll catch you later. EWJ.
W8RJD Mobile.
KTKGL, so am I. I've got a minute or two. Yeah, same here. I'm heading into Pontiac. I'm heading to the courthouse. Got another, kind of like a full day of court. Pretty much like all morning long, and then I think I have a 1 o'clock. So I've got like 5 hearings in the morning, and then like 1 in the afternoon, and then I'll probably be driving around in the afternoon. So, fun day ahead. How about you? What do you got going on, Cujo?
Oh, I have one running Novi, and it's just an access inspection. Shouldn't take that long. It's like 5-6 doors. Check the software, make sure everything's running okay. And then after that, Loader only knows where they're going to need me.
That 696 stretch out to Novi has been kind of a pain lately.
Oh yeah, and you got to watch when you're going through that zone, through that 60 mile an hour zone. Don't exceed it, because the boys in blue are sitting up on the old exit ramps for eastbound, and they're hiding right just at the top of the hill. You can't see them until you get there.
Do they get that double fine for work zone? Is that why they're going for it?
Oh, that's, I don't think it's for, quotas or anything, but when you got a work zone like that, you got 2 lanes, and you got people doing, 75-80 through there, and you got the construction vehicles going in and out of the area, somebody's bound to get hit somewhere.
Yeah, I can see that happening. Let me know if I'm starting to get, the interference, because I'm getting ready to head into downtown Pontiac, and I'm kind of wondering how those buildings are going to affect it.
Right by the courthouse isn't too bad, either on Warren or on Yelp. But you get a little bit there on the west side and down there off the pike and everything. Yeah, it gets kind of steady. But if you're going to the, are you going to the downtown Pontiac one, or you're going to the Oak Courthouse north?
Oakland Courthouse, and I'm in, like, downtown Pontiac right now. Like, so I've got, like, buildings just all around me, the Pontiac Courthouse building, the hospital, just a bunch of those. I'm just kind of curious, because I know downtown Rochester dips off, but then again, that's down in a valley, but I'm kind of curious how it does in downtown Pontiac. I'm on the Warren repeater.
So far, so good. A little bit of scratchy, but nothing major.
Okay, that's not bad. That's not bad. But yeah, I'm lucky enough where with 696, I get routed off to take Telegraph to Square Lake to 75, more or less. So I kind of, because heading back to Rochester, that's kind of the shortest path, and it doesn't add much time. But man, oh man, there's a lot of that where it just adds a lot of time to your trip.
Oh, I can believe it. Going through that area all the time, and because my office is up there by the old palace, so coming from home, we'll have to go up to Oakland Township, into Auburn Hills, and go that way. But if I'm on the south side or on the east side, over by 696, take that up the Telegraph and shoot it north. 675 is closed.
Oh, Okay. Hey, do you know what's going in? If you said you're up by the palace, because I think it's, oh, God, what's their name? Shostak is building a building there on the old palace site. But I don't know what's going in there. Do you have any idea what's going in there? Last time I was there, it was kind of being built, but I have no idea what's going to... It's pretty big. It's a pretty big complex.
Oh, my God. You know, I saw the sign for it, and I can't remember now. It's not Amazon, because they're over at the old, Silverdome property. I'm not sure if it's a CF or... Oh, now I can't remember. But, yeah, something well-known. Well-known.
Yeah, because I think Shostak's business model is, I think they like to build the building, and then I think they, I can't remember, do they own it or sell it? I think they like to own it, and then do, like, those long-term corporate leases to the tenants. So it's probably, I mean, with a building that size, I'm thinking it's some kind of world headquarters or something, or at least a North American headquarters, because it's going to be big. But have you ever driven by that Amazon and seen the drones taking off there across M-59? That's pretty fun.
Oh, yeah, they fly right over my office every day. You know, you'll be sitting out there, hear this whirring noise, and you look up and there's this big old drone flying overhead.
Okay, so that's funny. I didn't know they go northbound. I only see them going south out of there. I never see them going north, but they must have a launch pad on the north side of the facility, and they probably launch from there, too. I don't know if they go out to Rochester Hills, but I'm almost tempted just to find something to order just to have a drone delivery, because I'd just like to see what happens when one of those things drops something off. I've never even seen anybody in our neighborhood get anything through the drone delivery.
Yeah, it's within, I think, a 7 to 10 mile or a 5 to 10 mile radius. I can't remember which one it is. It's not very far, and it's not that expensive. And the packages, I think, can only be up to a certain weight. You know, because they take off, they drop the package off, and they go back, land, and swap the battery and send them the next delivery. So the batteries are short-run batteries that constantly swap out. I saw some video on it somewhere. But they're pretty fair size.
Yeah, they look like they're pretty decent-sized drones. I know that with the Sheriff's Department, we have the Sheriff's Department using their drones. They were actually launching them from the... I call it Crittenden, but whatever the hot set, whatever it is. I think it's Henry Ford now, downtown Rochester. That's where they were using their launch site from. And, you know, I think their batteries would get about, I want to say, 20 minutes. So you basically, but the good thing was they could get pretty much anywhere in town in 5 minutes. So, you know, they could get on the scene. Typically, before, you know, the first responders could get there, and then they could kind of, like, get a bird's eye view and then dispatch whatever help was needed. Pretty cool. Pretty cool technology.
Did you get to stand next to the dude flying the drone? I'm like, oh, I wish I could do that.
Oh, yeah. When I was on city council, they actually fly them out of a command center in Pontiac, so they're actually completely remote. And they took me to the command center, and I got to watch. And they also have, like, all the places. They have, like a workshop in there where they work on all the drones and build, you know. In some cases, they were building their own stuff in there, which was kind of neat. Some of them they buy. I know that I think we authorized the purchase of, like, 2 or 3, I can't remember, for the city. But they work on it and build their own stuff, too. It's really cool. It's really an impressive operation. They basically got all these pilot bays in this place in Pontiac where they just launch them out of. And it's kind of a nondescript, like, warehouse building that they use. Because, you know, you don't need much.
capability, you know, what you need it for, and having the 20 to 30 minute flight time on it, you know, is a way cheaper than a used 500 or a Bell, you know, because there you got fuel costs, pilot fees, all that other stuff.
Yeah, where we were getting hung up was when the Sheriff's Department wanted us to have, like, initially, they wanted us to have, like, three dedicated officers to, you know, piloting the drones. And I'm like, that's a little expensive, you know, because you know what it is? It's a pie chart thing, you know, because if I got three officers that I'm going to hire and dedicate them to drones, would it be better to have them on the road, three officers on the road, or better to have three officers, you know, operating a drone? Based on the numbers that I saw, I'd rather have three officers on the road. But then when Oakland County said, well, we'll just do it from a central, we'll just pilot them from a central location using our own officers, and all you have to do is fly the drones, I was like, okay, well, that's a much better deal, and we'll take that.
Absolutely. I mean, you don't even need a full-blown Leo, you know, flying the drone, unless, you know, you're out and about in the middle of, you know, in the thick of the woods or something. You could just have a regular dispatch or something sitting there dedicated to flying the drone, you know, when needed, but then taking calls. I see that more cost-effective.
These guys that fly these things, man, they're like, I mean, they're basically pilots. Like I said, these things are so technical. But yeah, no, those guys were good. And you know, once when you got past the human cost of it, you know, and you could just say, well, just buy the drones. I mean, I think the drones were only like 30 grand a piece, which really wasn't bad. So, you know, we just bought them two or three drones, and that turned out to be the deal. That was a good deal, and I felt like that worked out for everybody. Hopefully it worked out for everybody. It worked out for the city, I think.
Absolutely. I mean, that is, you know, put a, you know, a, whatever they call it, a post or whatever, lack for better term. Retired military drone pilots needed, even in the drone program, and hire the drone pilots from the military. Those guys are like the bomb.
Oh, for those guys, I'm sure this is just child's play. This is another day in the park. Well, hey, Cujo, I gotta get going. I just got to the courthouse, and I gotta jump on a Zoom meeting here, so I'm going to say 7-3 as well. Listen out, W8RJD, 7-3. Yeah, take it easy. Enjoy court. W8JSE from KKKDO, or W8KD. I forgot which one it is. Anyway, take it easy.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
WADD KPR.
Connected to CMN Network.
WADRJD.
You're connected to CMN Network.
W8RJD Mobile.
Hey, Ryan. I think it's Ryan. W8RJD. K8BB. Don. Also Mobile.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, it's Ryan. Yep, just doing the, little visits around. I'm in Farmington right now, but I'm seeming to get good. I'm getting good signal off the FCI repeater.
Oh, good. Yeah, very good distance for that. I'm in Pontiac right now, just leaving for a client appointment nearby in Bloomfield, so I'm on West Bloomfield right here. But I tend to lose it here as soon as I get past downtown Pontiac. It's low right now. Yeah, you sound good into the repeater.
Yeah, those buildings in Pontiac are not easy. I was on this morning though, and I was getting into, believe it or not, I was getting into the Warren repeater from downtown Pontiac pretty good. But yeah, I had court all morning, and now I'm like running around doing these visits. So I've got Farmington and Southfield coming up.
Very good. Yeah, my antenna is mounted on the trunk of my car, so I don't get I don't get good propagation from the antenna, so I don't do too well with downtown Pontiac on the Warren site. But anyway, well, hope you're staying cool out there. I just have a couple of quick appointments today, and I'm thankful for that, I guess. I don't know. Trying to stay cool.
Yeah, I got the AC cranking in the truck, and the outside temperature, according to the thermometer on here, is 97 degrees. 97 degrees.
Oh, wow. The thing in my car says 84, but I have a feeling it still thinks it's sitting in the garage and just left a few minutes ago. So maybe it'll get reality, because it's not 84 where I am.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's not. I'm thinking, yeah, it's still on garage temp, but it is a little unseasonable, but it's all right. You know what? We'll get ours soon enough, right?
Yeah, my brain is still on this. I know it's not, but my brain is still in August mode. This is what we should.
You broke up there, but I got most of it. I heard that, yeah, your brain's still in August mode. You know, I hear you. It's hard to get out of August mode if it hasn't hit Labor Day yet. This year, Labor Day falling so late makes it feel like August still.
Yeah, I switched over to the Warren repeater. Yeah, that makes sense. I think you're right. If it's, once we hit Labor Day, it's like, oh, okay, this is September, but it's as late as it could possibly be this year, so. Anyway, I am,
Yeah, you too. Good talking to you. Yeah, we probably have met somewhere down the line. Yeah, stay cool out there. And 73, this is W8RJD. I'll be monitoring.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
W8FU.
You're connected to CMN Network.
RJD Mobile.
Connected to CMN Network.
Hey, Cujo, you done for the day?
Yep, heading homeward bound. Gotta stop off and, they're off of Wilder Road, they're off of 69, Love Pierre County, at the rest stop to get my steps in.
Okay, yeah, that's way up there. I thought I talked to you this morning. Were you in Novi?
Yeah, I was in Novi, and then I went to Comstock Park.
Oh my God, is that like Grand Rapids area? Please tell me they give you a company car so you don't have to worry about mileage and all that stuff.
Oh, absolutely. I got a 2025 Transit 150. Got it with, the regular dealership transportation miles. So it was like 20 some odd miles on it, something like that. Picked it up, October last year, or maybe around this time last year, and going on 54,000 miles.
Man, so you're like, oh my gosh, you're on track for like, 60,000 miles a year, something like that?
Before this one, I had a 2025 Transit Connect, a little Parkirk one. And I had that for about 8 months, and I had 62,000 on that one.
So how often do you change up your vehicles? Is it less than a year, or was that just kind of an outlier?
Well, I got the Transit Connect early last year, and I was supposed to be in that until, 150,000 miles, and they order you a new one. But we had some extra vehicles, so the install boss and my boss said, hey, who wants a full size? I'm like, I will take one. So that got issued to me, and transferred all the stuff over to it because somebody else needed a new vehicle, so another tech got my van, you know, my little one, and he got it at, like I said, about 63,000 miles. So I'll have this one, you know, until I hit 150,000. And I travel, I mean, right now, just the way work is going, I've done probably about 120,000, 130,000 miles in about a year and a half.
That was what I was going to say. I was going to say it would be something under 24 months. So, you know, at the rate you're going, man, well, you spend a lot, you get to see, I guess you get to see a lot of the state, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. I think one week, I think I put on about 2,500 miles in just a week.
So what's the furthest customer you have out, like, from your base of operations? How far do you have to travel at the most, your longest client?
Okay, from my regular service district, you know, because I operate out of Detroit, or actually Auburn Hills, but we call it Detroit because that's the major city. Nobody knows where Auburn Hills is. But out of my Auburn Hills, Detroit office, I handle Oakland County, Wayne County, parts of Monroe, Washtenaw County, parts of Livingston, parts of St. Clair. So I do Ann Arbor, Detroit, Brighton, and that's a 32 mile road, you know, is where my stopping point is, you know, so all of Macomb County kind of thing. So I do about five counties. That's my normal district. So my furthest out would be Brighton and Ann Arbor, actually Dexter. Dexter is my furthest. But because of what I do now, my furthest customer that I've serviced was in Sheboygan.
Oh, man, that is, okay, that's way out there. So it's like a 3.5 hour drive one way. Jeez, okay. Man, and, well, Comstock Park, though, That's way on the other side of the state, so that's not in your, we'll call it jurisdiction.
KKKGO. No, it's not, like I said, but I'm a service tech, but I'm a tech specialist, and between me and my co-worker, partner, and best friend, I mean, we worked together for 30 years, but we are the main troubleshooters. So if the guys the techs out the west side have issues with cameras and access, like, hey, can you send Tom and Brad out? And we will go out there, find the problem, take care of it, and make the customer happy.
Okay, so you're the techs that come out there if the normal techs, we'll call it the first tier, can't figure out what the issue is. You guys come in there as the second tier and you guys figure out what the issue is. So basically, as long as you're not busy, everything's working just fine. But when you're busy, that means that something's gone wrong.
Right. When they say, hey, can you go to Petoskey for this one account? That means that the tech that's up there cannot figure out the issue. And they send us out to, you know, find out what's wrong and come up with a solution. Like I said, we're troubleshooters now. You know, whatever they throw our way, we'll just grab and take care of. And, I mean, it makes us look good. We got the brownie points and everything, but keeps the customers happy.
Yeah, that's the idea. It was funny. My father-in-law was, like, skilled trades. He's a pipe fitter for auto industry. And he used to tell me, he used to say, every time, like, people used to get upset because, you know, I wasn't working, he said, look, when I'm not working, this company's making money. When you see me out there busting my butt, they're losing hundreds of thousands of dollars an hour. He's like, he goes, you want to see me not working. He goes, when you see me working, we're losing money.
Right. And usually it's, customer is like, hey, I need to take care of something's not working. And, you know, the West Side text, like, I can't get out there till like next Tuesday. And we're sitting here in Detroit saying, well, we're done with work. It's only 10 o'clock in the morning. So our dispatcher would say, hey, can you go take care of this? And we just go bend it. I mean, right now, you know, certain areas are a little bit slow, I guess, or, you know, looking for work. We got, we got three techs going within the next week or so to Sitka, Alaska for an installation job. And then after Sitka, they're going over to Juneau for a camera job there for Princess Cruise Line. So they got that. And then we got two other techs going to Montana to do some work there.
So is that what you guys do? You guys do, like, security cameras, like, passcode entry, security, like, basically the security tech stuff? Is that what you guys do?
The company that I work for, we do a lot of things. We do HVAC. We do HVAC. We do environmental control. We do fire systems, camera systems, BERG systems, access. You know, we pretty much do a lot of things. We got tin snippers, you know. We got four different divisions. We got HVAC. We have environmental controls, or controls as they call it, fire and security.
Okay, that's interesting because a buddy of mine, he owns an IT company, and, you know, he does a lot of those camera installs. I know he did, like, camera installs for, like, the state of Michigan, Michigan Department of Corrections, but he was also doing a lot of, like, those, that cannabis industry, because they need to have a lot of, like, cameras, security cameras, with their warehouses or whatever they have, and, it's kind of interesting work, like, but it's funny, because his is more, like, he's an IT company, so their camera work is, you know, like, that's all they do is IT, so, you know, I don't know, I guess his is probably, like, you know, most of the cameras are probably the tech side of things. But I know that they're running the cable, putting the cameras in, stuff like that. I know they maintain a subscription program, too, where the people have to pay for maintenance and stuff like that. I think they pay a monthly fee or something. Back to you. W8RJD.
Yeah, the MDOC camera system, my coworker and another coworker actually went throughout the entire state of Michigan and updated all their NVRs under a short-term contract. So all the stuff that your buddy does, our company actually got all those up, running, and updated and converted. So that's, you know, yeah, that's what we do. And then MDOC, you know, send it out to bid after that kind of thing. But yeah, they did. It took them, what, about 8 months to do the entire state?
That's not bad, because those facilities, like, I think he was handling, like, one, but he also told me, never again. Never again. He said they just, he goes, you know, it's just, they kept changing the, you know, requirements, and, you know, it was a pain, and he goes, you know, I thought it was going to be a good contract, but he basically said once he was done with it, he was happy to be done with it, he's never doing it again.
150%. there's so many different what we call change orders when we get there, and then we have a book, you know, an SOP book on how certain things have to be done, and they are very nitpicky. I mean, I got the two Federal Reserves, and you know, we have them all throughout the nation, but if there's, they're very specific on certain things, and it drives me batty.
Yeah, no kidding. He was just like, never again. He's like, I'm not going to do that. But I think he likes the, I'll tell you this, who he liked working for was when he was doing the cannabis companies, because he's just like, they were just throwing money at the problem.
Yeah, when that first all started, I had one in Ann Arbor, and I'm like, no way, I was in there, when I came out, I had to sit because I was so buzzed just from the aroma. Like, no way, I'm allergic to this stuff, I can't do that again. And then, even though it's legal on the state standard, it is still illegal on the federal level. And because we have federal contracts, we said, no, somebody else can do it. You know, because it's legal in the state, but it's not federally legal, so. And so we don't do anything that is not approved by, you know, Washington, D.C.
You know what? That's good business. Because I'll tell you, like, I know a bunch of my lawyer friends, when that whole thing, like, kind of blew up, you know, and got big, they were kind of looking to get into the industry. And I think that you can, on the short run, see a growth in it. My big thing is that, let's say they legalize this in, like, you know, 5 years or whatever, I'm like, you know, companies like R.J. Reynolds are just going to come in and drink your milkshake. Like, this isn't Silicon Valley. You didn't invent, like, the next iPhone or iPad or something like that. Like, you know, if it becomes legal, like, they don't care about your market share. They'll just gobble it all up. You're not building it.
100%. The thing now is, growers, you know, they got the taxes or, you know, deferred or whatever they called it, and now a lot of them are like, we can't pay it. They can't pay the percentage. So it's like, oh, then, you know, they're shutting down. So it wasn't.
Yep, that's exactly right. And, like, I know that in this early on, like, when I was on city council, they wanted us to, they were going to try to come and do a ballot proposal because I, as soon as it passed the legislature, it was voted in, I passed the ordinance, like, to no pot shops in the city, and, you know, then a lot of those pot growers threatened to come in with, like, ballot proposals. Luckily, I stood firm, and, I'm like, look, you got to go to, you know, another city to get your pot. I don't think it's a big deal. If people are willing to drive further to Costco, not a big deal.
100%. Like I said, I have no problem with it. Just don't use it around me in any size, shape, or form because it smells like it's dumb, you know what. So it's like, but if that's what you prefer to do, that's fine. I don't know, I see medicinal benefits in it, but, you know, that's about it. You know, I support it. There's a cutoff, on both sides. So, because we have, in my town, we have two dispensaries. And they were there before I got on the planning commission. And they had a problem with the gas. They come to me for an extension
and a QYQ mobile monitor. And my, you know, did research on it, copied the, you know, the
Oh, man, you're on the planning commission. Oh, that's a grind, man. You're on the, you're doing that, like, what? You, how often do you guys meet? You meet every other week? That one is, oh, what, you know what? Good for you for doing it. I'll tell you, that is a rough thing to be on the planning commission.
We meet once a month, and right now we're finishing up our master plan that wasn't completed before I got on the commission. And we have this new development that we're waiting to hear back from the courts on that in regards to their ordinance, or not the ordinance, but more of a, we said, no, it needs to be smaller, this and that. We denied their variances. So, you know, the usual court mumbo jumbo, and waiting for them to come back on the yay or nays. And it's going to be in favor of both parties. You know, you follow our ordinances, you can build it. If the judge says you're fine to do it, then have at it. That's all. But yeah, I am the chairman of the planning commission. But it's 100% voluntary.
Oh, yeah. But it's a lot. The planning commission is a lot of work. I remember, I'll tell you, I got nothing but respect for people who sit on the planning commission, because when I was on council, like, you know, basically all the hard work was done by the planning commission. They were the ones that were giving the hard no's to the developers, and they were the ones that were sending them back saying, no, we want this, we want that, we want you to, you know, change this, change that. And, you know, by the time it got to us, you know, and it had maybe gone back and forth to the planning commission four or five times, right, or maybe more. And by the time it got to us, you know, the planning commission did all the hard work. They got it to a form where all I had to do was say yes, because they had already said no 20 times. So, I, like I said, I got nothing but respect for people who sit on the planning commission. That is a hard job.
It can be. Right now it's kind of laid back. I guess we got a lot of projects done, so. But I've arrived here at the rest area. I got to do my walk, and I got to call the better half and see what she wants for dinner. And I'll be back out. Well, the 73 on your temporary final. KCKJO.
Hey, Cujo, always a pleasure. Have a good one. If I don't hear from you for the rest of the day, 73. This is W8RJD monitoring.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KCKJO. Oh, who is out there? Kilo Charlie 8 Kilo, see you later out here.
Hey, Pia.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
We might have my first drone delivery within the hour.
Did they tell you it's coming by drone?
Yeah, it said delivery within the hour by drone. And then when it updated, it said today by 7 p.m. Well, that's within the hour. Yeah, so by 7 p.m., delivered by drone.
Really? Okay. Do you know what facility it comes out of?
I'm certain it'll come out of Hazel Park. It's an ODB2 device that allows me to interface my computer to the car.
Well, I'm surprised that Amazon sells those. Anyways, Bruce says hi.
Yeah, he stopped in this morning, and he went through the bags and picked up all the stuff. He knows that stuff better than I did, you know, about what he's going to need for that one job. So, but do you remember him from breakfast? He's not been there a lot, but he's been there a couple of times.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So he was there yesterday when I was there. I'm not sure what he's working on. What kind of stuff did he pick up?
He came and got all that Spectra stuff for that Wayne thing.
Oh, okay. So he's going to tackle that. Very good.
Yeah, like I said, he knows better. Remember I told you it's really peculiar. There's different softwares and cables and different ways to connect up and all that, and he knows all that a lot better than I did. I was out of it, you know, 12 years ago. I was last monkeying with those.
Okay, very good. Well, yesterday he was sitting with the other guy learning about the Armada software. And I'm wondering if the other guy even has an inkling that he may be training his replacement.
No, I don't know nothing about it actually, but yuppers.
Yeah, I don't know. I just kind of get a weird feeling about it. Anyways. I got a meeting I gotta go to, driving down through the S's on Orchard Lake, and all backed up. Did you get a phone call?
No, I was in the middle of something when I heard you and chimed in. I'm just trying to finish it up.
Okay, so what are you doing with the interface computer to your car?
So in 2024, they discontinued that keyless entry. I think we talked about that briefly. And then they reintroduced it as a factory add-on option with like $450. Well, I found one brand new in the box, the actual hardware, for like $50 online, and I installed it myself, and so now all I'm waiting for is I got to program the BCM and the ATIM to tell it it's there. And I'm getting all sorts of pushback from the Ford dealer because they're like, it's not orthodox for them. You know, it's kind of like, you know, it's like, but these guys at this, you know, there's this program called Forescan, which is free. And, you know, it allows you to get in there and do all this stuff. And, you know, they're saying, yeah, you just go here, you do this, and, you know, bingo. And so I was going to try to borrow one of these, the module that it needs. It needs a very specific module, or a pass-through module, they call it, to go from the computer in. And I was going to borrow one, but then I saw one at on Amazon, you know, for like $40, I figured, you know, if I'm all in for $90 to put this $450 option in my car, I can live with that.
Oh, okay. I did not know there was a third-party stuff out there that lets you access it. That's pretty cool. I got to learn more about that. I'll have to get that info from you.
Yeah, we'll see. The drone is supposed to be dropping it in my backyard sometime within the next 30, 40 minutes. So I'll be curious to see that. And I don't know that I'm going to monkey with it tonight. I could see myself driving, taking that car into work tomorrow and putzing with it. I don't know. We'll see. I also know that I'm very antsy. Once I got all the parts in my hands and everything good to go, it's going to be hard to keep me sitting here.
All right. By the way, how did everything go with the pickup on your vehicle? Went smooth?
Oh, the old one? Yeah. Smooth as silk. Guy came. He walked around and was, like, nitpicking it. Like, he's photographing and looking at stuff and writing stuff down. And I'm like, a little late to be doing that. We've agreed. I've signed papers. We've agreed on a price. It's a little bit late to be nitpicking. Because I was kind of nervous about that, but he went all around it, and then he took off and took it for a drive, and you know, he said he'd be, you know, gone for about 10, 15 minutes or something like that, and he came back, he goes, yeah, he goes, everything's great, you know, and handed me a check for the amount agreed upon. So I don't know what they're looking at. They seem like they're nitpicking, and I'm like, that's a hell of a time to be nitpicking. I guess they're just making sure it's fairly represented, and so, you know, so he goes through a whole series of checklists and all that stuff. And it's still in my app, my Ford app, so I've been watching it. It's parked at the back of their parking lot at 14 and John R. I'm waiting to see if it moves so that I can see what they listed for.
Oh, sneaky, sneaky. Well, yeah, there's probably some fine print that says, yeah, we agree on this, but if we find anything that was misrepresented, it would be, you know, everything void.
Okay, I just downloaded the license key. They give it this 4-scan. They give it to you for free, but if you want, like, the extended functions, you got to get a license key. It's really affordable, but they give you a 2-month one for free. So I'll have 2 months, I'll have all the equipment, so we'll see how it works, and we'll be able to jack it into yours and take a look at the inner workings of yours if you want on Saturday.
Yeah, I missed most of that. My radio quit out on me, and I just got a new relay that I'm going to put in. I think it's a relay. It's crapping out. I really do. It's the only thing left in the circuit, so... what did you say? I just caught plugging the mic to mine to see something.
You got quite noisy on that last one, so I'm not 100% sure I heard everything. Something about Saturday, and you're going to do the relay. I heard that. I don't know if you said you were going or not going or whatever on Saturday, and then I didn't catch whatever it was at the tail end.
All right, just out of range on my repeater. Yeah, I said, well, number one, the power dropped out on my circuit here, and at the relay just came, and I'm going to replace that on Saturday. I think that's the issue. So I was saying, all I heard from you was something about plugging into mine and seeing, testing it. You talking about my car?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was going to say, come to breakfast on Saturday, I'll bring my laptop and we can jack it in and can show you how it works. We don't have to do anything, but can I? Yes, it's nothing. It's like an OBD2. Plugs right into the OBD2. And then, but you're supposed to be, you know, you can do all sorts of cool stuff from there, so we can take a look at it. If you just want to see it, I can just jack it into mine and show you what I did or something. Hopefully by then I got my fingers crossed that I'll have figured out what to change and made the changes. I'm not sure how plain language it's going to be. we'll see. I've done a lot of reading on it. Like you said, you just save your original, and then if you mess anything up, you know, you just load the original back in. But sounds everything I've read, it sounds pretty reasonable.
Okay. Well, man, we got a meeting at the library here, and there's absolutely no parking spaces. They got construction going on, so they took about two-thirds of the parking lot. Yeah, there's no parking. I don't know what I'm going to do here. All right, I got to find out, figure out where I'm going. I'll talk to you later. KPR.
I got to feed the critters and figure out what Andrea and I are doing for dinner and a few other odds and ends. So I've got a bunch of stuff to do, plus I'm waiting for my package. All right. Good luck. WFU.
Connected to CMN Network.
K8RUH. KFA, FTS monitoring.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KFAS monitoring.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.